the crypto ecosystem is growing fast, and that's because there are all kinds of potential benefits to adopting crypto assets. But
the challenge is that there needs to be a regulatory approach around crypto assets globally. My name is Tobias Adrian. I'm the financial counselor of the International Monetary Fund, and I'm also the director of the Monetary and Capital Markets Department.
Welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. I'm Bruce Edwards, and in this episode, we look at how the rapid rise of crypto assets is posing new challenges for financial stability. Analysis in the latest Global Financial Stability Report takes a deep dive into the world of crypto. Tobias Adrian led the team of economists who put it all together. So maybe I should just start by asking you, what are crypto assets?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's a lot of focus on crypto assets these days. The best known crypto asset is Bitcoin, but there are thousands of other crypto assets that are in existence. The market capitalization of crypto assets rose tenfold, or more than tenfold, in the past year. And so there's a stream of new investments into this area. So crypto assets are assets that are decentralized. So they're not associated with an institution like a bank, but rather they're living in cyberspace and they're based on new technologies, blockchain technology and distributed ledger technology. And so those technologies could also be used in other contexts, but for crypto assets, they're used to create assets that are investable assets distributed in cyberspace. And the blockchain technology is based on cryptography. That's why they're called crypto assets.
And so where are crypto assets available now in terms of, you know, what countries have adopted them and why? I mean, what's the attraction?
So crypto assets really exist in cyberspace. So they are available anywhere in the world. Now, access is regulated by laws and regulations in some countries, but by all means, not all countries. So some countries have passed laws for cyber regulations, and some countries have tried to forbid access to cyber technologies, crypto technologies. So the usage is being banned in some countries. There's one country that has adopted Bitcoin as a national currency, but at the IMF, we are not a supporter of that approach.
And why not?
Bitcoin are very volatile. The market capitalization is fluctuating widely. So Bitcoins are more volatile than the stock market or exchange rates or commodity prices. So if you tie your national currency to Bitcoin, you're importing that volatility, which is not related to your macroeconomic fundamentals. And that type of volatility is a problem.
So you are very much focused on financial stability globally. What do you worry about? I mean, you just described a scenario when a country adopts Bitcoin, for example, that is not necessarily conducive to stability. But what do you worry about most when it comes to countries integrating crypto assets into their economies?
Yeah. So there are operational risks. We have seen a number of crypto exchanges and wallet providers be subject to operational failures. They have also been subject to cyber attacks. And so as an investor, because these are largely unregulated providers, the exchanges and the wallet providers are largely unregulated, you know, they are very vulnerable to both operational and cyber risks. There are also investor protection issues. So some crypto assets have been marketed that were fraudulent. And Furthermore, there are macroeconomic and macrofinancial threats. So crypto trading can become macro-critical. In fact, we have seen some emerging markets in which capital flows associated with crypto assets have become so large that they are in magnitude comparable to capital flows that are in regular assets. And so that can potentially be destabilizing. Finally, there is dollarization in crypto assets. So something that we coined cryptoization that is possible. So dollarization is a problem for all countries. And with crypto assets, that could be much easier and much more widespread.
So there are different types of crypto assets and digital currencies out there. But stable coins is something that you look at in this report. What exactly are stable coins?
Absolutely. So stable coins are promising to have a stable value. As I said earlier, most crypto assets fluctuate widely in value, while stable coins are tied to a reserve. And the reserve is typically in cash or in relatively short-term assets, such as commercial paper or certificates of deposit. And they're trying to stabilize the value to $1. So if you pay $1 in, you get $1 back. The problem is some of these stable coins are very well designed and are indeed very likely to be stable, but others could be subject to instability. In fact, we have seen a run on one of these stable coins this year in June. It was a small provider, but still there's some risk of a run on some of the stable coins.
Not all stable coins are necessarily stable.
Exactly. So some are very well designed. They're really invested in very safe assets as a reserve. And so the expectation can be that you get paid back. But not all are invested in these safe assets. Some, in fact, are invested in crypto assets that vary in value. And so ultimately, in our view, stable coins do have to be regulated and backstopped to make sure that they can deliver what they promise, which is stable value.
So how does all this affect regional integration? I mean, if one country in, let's say, sub-Saharan Africa, for example, decides to adopt a crypto asset, how do other non-crypto countries continue to trade and do business with that country?
Well, you still have to pay suppliers in foreign currencies, right? So say if you buy something from China, you have to pay in renminbi. If you buy something from the US, you have to pay in dollars. If you buy something from Europe, you have to pay in euro. So that doesn't change. So that country might have to exchange its goods and its currencies into Bitcoins. Now, for users of Bitcoins, the challenge is the volatility, because you might be very rich one day, but then the value could go down dramatically the next day. And again, as I said, the volatility is higher than the volatility we see in most equity markets. So I think, however, there are big potential benefits from crypto assets across borders, but those are more likely to be in stable coins. So already today, you can exchange stable coins from one currency into another. And that could, in principle, save some costs, be very quick and very cheap. The challenge is that there needs to be a regulatory approach around crypto assets globally. And so in the report, we are really calling for common standards across countries, for a global push for regulating crypto assets to make sure that they're safe and that investors are protected when they're using them.
And in the report, you talk about central bank digital currencies, or CBDCs, as you refer to them. Is this sort of like considered a stable coin, or how does that work? I mean, how does this central bank digital currency thing work within the crypto universe?
Yeah, well, there are over 100 countries at this point that are exploring actively to create central bank digital currencies. Uh-huh. But today, there's really only one country that has an official CBDC, and that's the Bahamas. Hmm. However, many other countries have done active experiments to understand how CBDCs could work. So in principle, CBDCs could also be based on cryptography, so the same technologies as crypto assets. But that is not necessarily the case. CBDCs could also be based on payment systems, real-time gross settlement payment systems, and they could be account-based. So there are different types of technological approaches. And depending on what technological choice the country makes, this is more or less integrated with other crypto assets.
And have you had a chance to take a look at how this has played out in the Bahamas?
Yes, absolutely. We have worked closely with the Bahamas. For the moment, in the Bahamas, the CBDC can only be used within the Bahamas. So you couldn't trade what is called the sand dollar outside of the Bahamas. You have to travel to the Bahamas, which is, of course, a nice destination. And, you know, one of the use cases for the Bahamas is the frequent occurrence of hurricanes. Right. So when hurricanes hit the Bahamas, a country with many islands, cash distribution, physical cash distribution is very difficult. Right. While cell phones and electricity typically works even after severe hurricanes. And so digital cash can be distributed easily across the thousands of islands that the Bahamas consists of.
So there certainly are benefits to digital currencies like that. If we can sort of figure out the regulations that need to be put in place, as you suggest.
Yeah.
Tobias Adrian, Director of the Monetary and Capital Markets Department at the IMF. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
You can read all of the analytical chapters in the Global Financial Stability Report at imf.org/GFSR. And you can read the blog on the crypto boom at blogs.imf.org. And look for other IMF podcasts on Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Leave us a review if you like what you're hearing. And follow us on Twitter at imf_podcast. I'm Bruce Edwards. Thanks for listening.